I just realized that I'm a baby boomer. I didn't know. I wanted to find out exactly, and apparently those born in 63, like me, were still part of the baby boomers. Well, so baby boomers grew up watching TV programs that idealized family life and offered an idyllic, albeit unrealistic, image of the family, where dad always gets home in time for dinner, mom is always nicely dressed as she does the chores, children always learn their lessons in every episode. Well, the day I was born, it was the day after the last airing of the sitcom Leave It to the Beaver, one of such shows. Others are the Andy Griffith Show or Father Knows Best, these kind of shows. They presented an idyllic image of family life. Things have changed. I don't know if you noticed. The new generations now are accustomed to programs that instead lampoon family values or ridicule them. Shows such as Family Guy, an animated series that ridicules the importance of family and makes light of the struggles of families today. Or another sitcom that aired on NBC in the year 2013, I believe, titled The New Normal. The New Normal is the story of a couple of gays who live in LA. They decide to have a child. And so they pay a surrogate mother to carry their child for them. She herself is a single mother who just survived an abusive, adulterous relationship. The title, The New Normal. Is it really the new normal? Well, we all have our own ideas of what a well-adjusted, functional, happy family should need, usually good communication, respect, mutual respect, and a right balance between personal independence and family rules. It's important we talk about these things. I believe that as we come to the end of a year and are about to start a new one, I think it's important that as family we have these kind of conversations. We set our common goals, our strategies, the family values we want to live by. Today's Liturgy of the Word provides us with a list of such family values and attitudes that are important in the life of a family today. For example, the book of Sirach, the first reading. It's a very interesting book because Ben Sirach was a prophet, a wise man that preached and spoke around the year 200 before Christ. It was his son, or if not his nephew, that decided to put in writing all this wisdom of Ben Sirach, wanting to preserve it and to pass it on to new generations. So that gives you already a family environment of a son who honors the memory of his father by publishing his preaching. And it presents the commentary, so to speak, to the fourth commandment, honor your mother and your father. And so the book of Sirach talks about honoring, about revering parents, about respecting them, not ridiculing them when they get old, and so forth, having kindness toward them. But the main point it makes is that all of this is precious in the eyes of God. God sees the good we do to our parents. And it says, God will forgive, atone all your sins, will hear your prayer if you honor your father and revere your mother. God himself holds in high esteem the honor we tribute to our parents. The second reading we heard, the letter to the Colossians, also offers a list of virtues that must prevail in every Christian household: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, meekness, and above all, love. And then gratitude, thankfulness, peace. These are all the virtues that make a home a home. You know, during the wildfires that destroyed many houses in California, it is said that a family was left without a house. And so they were being sheltered somewhere. And one young person said, "Oh, I'm so sorry you don't have a home." And the little girl said, "We do have a home. We just don't have a house where to put it." So these virtues create a home. And in the gospel, St. Luke offers the presentation of Jesus to the temple, the fourth joyful mystery. And the Holy Family is offered to us as an example to imitate. This is actually what the opening prayer, the collect prayer of this Mass, mentioned. It says, "God, you gave us the shining example of the Holy Family so that we may imitate them." The Holy Family was a difficult family in the sense that they had a difficult life. Imagine a pregnancy out of wedlock. Imagine Joseph having to make a tough choice, either have his promised wife stoned to death or dismiss her quietly. Imagine having to walk to Bethlehem and having a child in an animal shelter. Imagine then being persecuted by Herod, having to flee for their lives to Egypt, becoming refugees like so many today. Imagine all of that. They did not have an easy life, but they are offered to us as an example. Why? What are the virtues that we need to imitate in them? I believe that they are an example because they are holy. And holiness, I believe, is one of the family values, one of the values in life that we all need to strive for. Yes, harmony, forgiveness, absolutely. Getting along, bearing with one another, all of this, all of the above. But also holiness. Holiness should be one of the goals of family life. When Mother Teresa was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979, I believe, a reporter approached her and asked her, "So what can we do to promote peace?" She said, "Go home and love your family." When we love family, when we make of the family the image of God who is love, when we live in holiness, we are part of this building of a new world. And quoting another Christian writer, Léon Blois, he was a Frenchman, a French novelist, who late in life became a Catholic and a staunch defender of Catholic doctrine. He once famously said, "The only tragedy, the only sadness in life is not to be a saint. The only sadness in life is not to be a saint, is not to achieve holiness." Holiness is the ultimate joy, the ultimate transformation of a human person. And so holiness should be also the goal of each family. This is who we are. This is why we were made. God made us in his own image and likeness. Male and female, he made them. It is only in the union, in our relationships of love, that we become the image of God. As a matter of fact, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, there is a second telling of the story of the creation. And it's when God takes some dust of the earth and shapes Adam and breathes life into him. So far, God paused that every time he created something, paused and looked at it and said it was very good. So he created the heavens and the earth, and it was very good. The seas, the animals, the plants, and it was very good. Everything was very good. When God creates Adam, for the first time we hear, it is not good. It is not good that man should be alone. And that's when God, in the second chapter of Genesis, creates Eve. Only in the union of the family, we are image and likeness of God. That's why, in my opinion, St. Paul has a definition of God that is quite shocking. And I quote, this is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, I bend the knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. What Paul is saying is that family is the name of God. Of course. What is family if not a communion of loving relationship? That's who God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a communion, a community of loving relationship. God is family. Not in the sense that we are family, of course, but this tells us of our own vocation as families to be the image and likeness of God. So as we come to the end of this year, as I look back, I lost my mom this year. I had already lost my father. I remember what I told the immigration officers as I came back from Italy. He said, why were you there? I said, I was there to become an orphan. So it's difficult to look back. But as we look ahead, let's make of holiness the family values that we are going to pursue. In this society, we sacrifice family for the sake of work, money, what have you. Let us make family and the holiness of the family the center of our efforts in the next year. Let me close with a story by a preacher from a century ago, Clovis Chapelle. He told a story about two paddle boats. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River, heading toward New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, sailors from one vessel made out the snail's pace of the other boat. Words were exchanged, challenges were made, and the race began. Competition began as the two boats rowed through the deep south. One boat began falling behind. They had not enough fuel. They had enough coal for the regular journey, for the trip, but not for a race. As the boat dropped back, a young sailor took some of the ship's cargo and tossed it into the ovens. When the sailors saw that the supplies burned as well as coal, they fueled their boat with the material they had been assigned to transport. They ended up winning the race, but burned the cargo. God has entrusted to us also a cargo, our children, our spouses, our parents, our siblings. Our job is to do our part in seeing that this cargo reaches its destination. Yet when the program takes priority over people, people often suffer. How much cargo do we sacrifice in order to achieve the number one slot? How many people never reach the destination because of the competitive society, competitive pace of our life? Let us remember, we are the image and likeness of God in the meaningful and loving relationships we have with our families, with our friends. Let us make of these a priority in the new year. And God bless.